Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call tonight. This is the 28th day of December, and this is a Friday, praise Yahweh, and we are in a very exciting series of Ephraim, Joseph, descendants. Tonight, we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew and then into the book of Luke, where we are going to trace the genealogy downline, if you will, of the scriptures that we might see what is happening to the genealogy. Now, Paul warned us in his ministry not to be caught up in genealogy debates. We're going to explore why that he would say that. He might have known more than we know today because of the lying pen of the scribes and those that would add to or take from. We believe something has been going on in the genealogy downline to keep us blind from the very fact of who that we really are. The greatest hoax, by the way, I believe in the history of mankind. This is the greatest one, at least, since Genesis 3:14-15, the conception of Cainite into the earth through the womb of Eve. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cain, the Cainite, he was not a son of Adam. We challenge anybody that believes that he was to prove it in the genealogy downline of Adam. He's not listed in there. Praise Yahweh for that. And so then we're going to continue the great mystery from Genesis 3:14-15. We're going to get into the new parchment, as we call it tonight, and really examine and look, put it under the magnifying glass of scrutiny, if you will, the genealogy, and show you that there's something rotten here in Denmark, as the old saying goes, and we've got a rotten apple here in the barrel, and we're going to try to expose or to identify or magnify this rotten apple and remove it from our understanding that we may know the truth and let the truth set us free. Now, the greatest mysteries, the Bible says, are held back for the last days. John, if you remember, Daniel, if you remember, they both were forbidden to write what the seven seals, the seventh of the seal that was about to utter its voice, when a command from heaven shut up the voice of the seventh seal, and it shall be declared in the last days through his prophets here in the flesh. And so we believe that this is a part of the great mystery that has been shut up for generations, and the greatest mystery of all is exactly what I'm in tonight. This is something that is necessary for this day and time, because we cannot remain ignorant and in a sleeping stupor forever. There comes a point in history, and I do believe that we're in that time, where that we, Jacob Israel, must awaken from our sleep. And what better to awaken Israel than the heroine of the sound of the seventh day prophet, meaning that the seventh seal prophets are beginning to sound. Seven is complete. Eight is a new beginning. So the seventh day has arrived almost upon us. We are getting ready to go into a divine outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we are being energized with the Holy Spirit. Now, Yahweh says in the last days, through his prophets, he will finish the mystery, meaning the final chapter will be, the pages of concealment will be uncovered through the prophetic revealment of the prophets. How can you hear without a preacher, and how can they preach except they be sent? Now, of course, every prophet that Yahweh sends upon the scene, there is a jealousy, and that was going on in the house of Jacob Israel. There was pride, resentment, and jealousy, and it continued even up unto this day. Now, why? Because of rebellion and things of this nature. And we know that the Father divinely brought this plan about himself. You see, Satan didn't master this plan. Yahweh himself declared the end from the beginning, and he also said, I create good and I create evil. Choose this day. So it's a choosing thing, and Yahweh divinely inspired this episode of the greatest mystery. Now, what is this mystery? That the Jews are not, now we're talking about the descendants of the tribe of Judah. Now, I'm not going to get in tonight whether they are good Jews or bad Jews. I don't want to get into that debate. I do know that there is a remnant from Judah that had its bloodline corrected through Tamar and Judah. But ladies and gentlemen, what has escaped the attention of most of the prophets of Israel, the racial covenant two-seed line that I'm speaking about tonight, the only ones that I give any credibility to preach the gospel, anything else is just preaching a facsimile or an imitation or a counterfeit or a compromise or a seem-right thereof. So then we must begin to judge among our own house, which is racial covenant, two-seed line, identity ministers must, and I repeat, they must come to some common ground of understanding, and how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except that they sent? So then, this revelation slated and timed for the revealing, or the cover come off in the last days, if you will, this is now, we believe, the time to expose the genealogy tampering with the scriptures, and that it exposes someone back in antiquity who dared. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we have been warned, and we took this very lightly, or at least with a grain of salt in Israel's case, as we are the salt of the earth. We just added one more grain into our sleeping confusion, and we don't want to be awakened. My message falls on the deaf ears of the Aryan descendants of Israel, because you go out into the bell boxes where they are congregated and keeping their traditions of the world the same right way. I have often told you that the Baptist Church is not to be called a Baptist Church. They don't believe in baptism. Oh, yes, they immerse. But they'll tell you real quick that baptism has nothing to do with saving you. And the conception of the Baptist Church, which is now called Baptist Churches, and there's about 200 different variations of them here and there scattered around, but in the conception of the known as Baptists, they were not known as Baptists. And I'll show you how tradition and time heals lies and covers, and then it becomes an accepted norm. If you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the accepted truth. Then truth itself becomes stranger than fiction. They were known in their conceptions as anti-Baptists. Go to your history books. And me and a brother from up in North Dakota was talking about this very thing today, praise Yahweh, that time has changed a lot of the divine principles of truth into a life where we now worship the creatures of the own imagination more than the truths and realities of Scripture. Well, the Bible says if you continue in His Word, then you are His disciples. Now, we're going quickly to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. We'll show you only two versions now. With the exception of, periodically, there are certain Scriptures that are addressed this issue, hidden very neatly as the needle in a stack of needles. Now, it's one thing to hide a needle in a haystack to find the needle out of the haystack. but it's another thing to find a needle, specific needle, in a stack of needles. Well, that is where the divine spirit comes in. As the Bible said, as many are led by the spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. So then, we believe that in the last days, thou shalt come upon the scene in the Ephraim dispensation. Now, I'm talking about the 10 northern tribes. It's time for us to emerge and to wake up and come out of sleep and reveal or uncover the fallacies and the lies that have been taken for generations as truth. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there shall be a rebellion away from these traditional things of acceptance as the norm of the last at least 600 or 700 years that we've accepted these things as truth. You see, actually back in Europe, 600 or 700 years ago, they actually knew, they knew who the Canaanites were. These vagabond gypsies, if you will, were run out of at least 27 countries abroad. They actually did not permit them to live among these ancient Israelites. Now, we have gradually been conditioned, is the word. And now we accept them among us. Now, who are the Canaanites? Well, praise Yahweh, we have some teachings that are for your learning, but you would have to request specifically some of the teachings that we have on these, because these teachings are very controversial. Now, we don't draw back because of the fear of man. We use discretion, and we're wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and he that observes the wind will not sow. We don't sow where there's a lot of wind of flames or those things that bring confusion. As Paul tried to preach, everywhere he went, there was a Canaanite faction following him everywhere he went, stirring up the Israelite brothers against the teachings of the Apostle Paul. Finally, in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, as they rejected the teachings of the Apostle Paul, himself a Benjamite, if you will, not a Jew. Everybody says, well, Paul was a Jew. How stupid, how ignorant, how... Ladies and gentlemen, it's so surprising that the average Christian, I'm calling a goathead for a lack of a better word, you ask him, well, was Paul a Jew? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was one of God's chosen people. He was a Jew. Well, Paul said himself that he was a Benjamite. And see, certain words have crept into the English Bibles that have confused, like the word Gentile, as we recounted the other night in the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 4 and 5. It specifically says that Israel, the sheep of the 12 tribes scattered abroad, are not Gentiles. They were to never be addressed as Gentiles. And yet we have been accustomed or made to believe that we ourselves, and I'm talking about the white Caucasian race that came out of the 10 tribes as we migrated west through the Caucasus over into Russia, southern, northern tip of Russia, up through into the British Isles and into Western Europe, these descendant sons of Isaac, praise Yahweh, we have a rich history and heritage, and yet it is being suppressed. Now, we will keep the African Black Days, and we will keep the Muslim Holy Days, and we will keep all these Indian days, but the times of Yahweh, if we keep these, we are under the law. We are out of step with reality. If we're not Christian, quote-unquote, Judeo-correct, in the bell box system, we are outsiders just banging on the door of tradition. Well, yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the apostolic fathers were. They were outcast. They were noted as scumbags, off scorns of the earth, it is says. And they were considered ignorant and unlearned. Well, praise Yahweh, I can classify myself in the same mode as the apostolic fathers. I just barely got into school enough to read. and don't do a very good job of pronouncing or commanding the king's language with a seventh, barely an eighth grade education. I really did graduate from the eighth grade, but I think it was at the mercy of the teachers because I was taken out so much working in the foreign system that we had that being the elder son, I was growed up strong and fast, and I had to be work, and there was certain chores on the farm that school was secondary. That's the way the old southern tradition was. Work and living and preparing and seasonal crops had to be accounted for. So every time that it was a wheat cutting event, I had to miss at least a week of school or longer to put up the wheat, put up the tobacco, put up the corn, and to set tobacco and things of this nature. As we worked here in the 40s, praise Yahweh, with our teams, and the pace was much slower, and it took a long time to harvest crops. And today, one man can do the work of 20 equal to the day that I came up in. However, we had to miss a lot of school. So with just a barely, and I repeat barely, an eighth grade education, I would be considered today ignorant and unlearned if I was to be compared to the Greek Hebrew scholars and or, quote unquote, the clergy of today who have gone to school to learn how to project their messages and their mannerisms, their ability to hold audiences spellbound as they tell little interesting stories and have little Sunday school gatherings for Sunday, S-U-N day, as we gather in these bell boxes, I call them, these things with a steeple on them. Oh, yes, these steeples are nothing but phalluses of the male sex organ with the cross, the inverted vagina, and that came out of the pagan worships of the goddess Ashtar, and also the gods of Thor, Zeus, and so on and so forth. And you say, oh, buddy, you're beside yourself, and you're just knocking us, you're just jealous. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been thrown out of better churches than most people attend because I got up and spoke the truth of the word. Now, the Bible says the day that will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. And here alone comes an old, uneducated man out of the hills of East Tennessee, and preaching a message that is baffling the DDs and the seminary, I call them, preachers, and confounding them. They can't withstand my wisdom and my knowledge, and they say, well, what university did you go to? And I tell them I went to the University of Heaven, and I got filled with a Holy Spirit that knows all things, and so all Yahweh needs is a willing participant. And he said, think not when you're delivered up before these Pharisees, these learned scholars, what you're going to say, for the Holy Ghost will give you what to say in the same hour. And I've had the Holy Ghost to come upon me when I was in debate with Greek scholars in the Church of Christ as I debated them on the oneness and the name issue and put them to shame. Why? Because the word spoken with the seasonal of the Spirit shall stop every mouth, and it has no respect of persons. And just because you're educated don't mean that you know any more than the Holy Spirit, because I've never seen the Holy Spirit outdone by any educated fool, as I call them, in the world. So then, so much for education, praise Yahweh. And I really am at times ashamed of my lack of understanding and my education. However, I make no apologies when I get in the Spirit. Because, you see, I just seem to burn a DD, a doctrine of divinity. I take more pleasure in burning his hide with the word and those things that he's not studied on. You see, where I've gone is the school of hard knocks, meaning that the Bible says you shall be hated and persecuted. So I've come up through the ranks. I've earned every degree in heaven. I've graduated from the most awesome of all of the university. I'm talking about the University of Heaven in the Constellations, where Yahweh taught me the marvel of the stars and the signs in the heavens. And therefore, I got understanding quickly, and I became associated with his word, for I found out that there's a place in the West where Ephraim, Joseph, was to be positioned, where out of him shall come a remnant of light bearers, which will bring or restore back the heritage, the honor, and the integrity of Jacob Israel. My hallelujah, praise Yahweh, in the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read out of the King James. I will, to save confusion, I will put the word Jesus. I don't normally use it. I'll use it in this case because I want you to see that something's wrong here in the genealogy. Now, remember, the book of the generation, or the book of the genetics, the downline, as we explode out the genes from, we're going to start with Abraham. In this case, because this is where they start. Remember, I gave you the information last night. There were 14 generations between Abraham and David, and 14 between David and the Messiah. So then, significantly, we begin our bloodline descent count, or the explosion of the genetics. We're going to explode out of the genes of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and see the downline, and see where that someone possibly could have inserted other genetic genes to make it appear that the Christ child would come out of someplace other than where he actually came from. Now, you say, well, what would it matter, Pastor Buddy? It matters very much. You see, if we don't know our heritage, if we don't know who we are, and we are called the lost sheep, see, something lost don't know where he's at. He really don't know where he's been, and in that sense, that's why that we are recovering the lost sheep. Well, my heavens, I'm down at the bottom of that already, and how time flies when you're having a great time in the Spirit. Praise Yahweh. Well, let's pause for a 2-minute break. This is Pastor Buddy the Shepherd's Call. We'll be right back. Don't touch the dial. Stay there, because we're going to really unfold it in the second half. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. Now we're going to really give you some things that you have not heard on any, and I'm talking any, radio station or television station or any pulpit for that matter. This message that I'm giving you tonight is probably, this is a historical, proportional event, message information, meaning that it is, we are breaking new ground on worldwide radio here on Truth Tonight. We are bringing this message, and we wonder why other Two Seedline Racial Covenant ministers won't preach this. They won't dare go there. Well, they themselves have not studied enough to be quote-unquote experts or to defend the gospel against these raving Pharisees as they come after you like a pack of dogs. Well, here is the old junkyard dog, brave enough, if you will, with enough, let's say, a lack of education. I don't depend on education, so therefore, I'm just dumb enough, if you will. I'm foolish enough. Bible says Yahweh chose the foolish things. You see, that's why he didn't want me educated. I always longed to go to college, being caught up in the workforce. Now today you can't get young children to go. They got all kinds of opportunities. I offered to put all three of my children. I worked my fingers to the bone to put my children through college. And ladies and gentlemen, if I'd have had that chance, I would have been in college. But see, Yahweh don't choose the wise things. He chooses the foolish things to confound the wise. It's those little things that the foolish people pick up that wise men never think about. Because they're thinking about things in the abstract, things in the abnormal range, where that they can pull down great theories. As a friend of mine was talking yesterday, logic, sometimes logic don't fly. Praise Yahweh, if the logic of a bumblebee to fly, its logic says it's impossible for a bumblebee to carry his weight with a fan as he's got. And yet he's one of the most prolific at flying. He'll pop you between the eyes if you get in his way. And that's what the truth will do with the logic of understanding of the Spirit. It will open your eyes. And here tonight, we are going to give you some I-Save operation. Praise Yahweh. Notice now, verse 2, we are in Matthew. Abraham begat Isaac. Here we go now, ladies and gentlemen. We're off and running on the down line. And Isaac begot Jacob. Everything is correct now as we go along. And Jacob begot Judas and his brethren. Oh, mercy. Something out of line here. Now, somebody foolish like myself would say, now, wait a minute. Judas wasn't the next in line, down line here, because it was Reuben. Well, you say, well, you know, they're just jumping here with a lack of space. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, one more page of written text in the Word wouldn't have hurt anything, as we have got 1,189 chapters in the chopped-down version of the Bible, of the King James, and we've got 39 books in the Old Testament. It wouldn't have hurt to have had 40, and it certainly wouldn't have hurt to have had 28 instead of 27 in the New Testament, and it certainly wouldn't have hurt to have left the 12 books that they took out of the original King James, to have left them in there for a little bit more understanding, especially in the book of Maccabees, where they didn't want us prying around in our intelligence system to find out, because the Bible said we're destroyed for the lack of it. Therefore, woe unto them that would take from the text, and woe unto them that would add to. Now, in this case, we're believing that somebody's doctored the genealogy downline here purposely. Now, remember, Reuben was disqualified from the birthright simply because he went up and slept with his father, Jacob's concubine. Now, isn't that wonderful? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, well, what's that got to do with the genealogy of downline? We're saying that Christ came through Judah. Well, that's what you're saying, but I'm here to set the record straight that there's no scripture to substantiate that other than text that's been tampered with. Now, we'll take you to task any time that you want to get on board, and we will have a jolly free-for-all, praise Yahweh, in the scriptures, and we'll let the scriptures do the talking as we let our fingers do the walking through the scriptures. Now, let's go back unto the 46th chapter of the book of Genesis. We could go to many others. We'll go here first to see the downline, and we're not arguing about whether they left anybody out, but we're going to show you purposely why that they probably left out some of the things that you don't know about. Well, that's my job, just foolish enough to make enemies. You see, I don't court nobody, whether they're two-seed line racial covenant identity. I don't care how much they talk about me. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but these words of these backbiters will never hurt me. I only know what I know. And when I get in town with the gospel, I carry my King James, and it's sharp as a razor blade, and I keep it that way. I keep my mind expressed into the scriptures. I know what the next page says. I know where it can be read and where it can't be read. I know where they've altered, I believe, and whether they added to. I think I know some scriptures, and I don't pride myself of knowing it all, but I know enough to take care of myself, praise Yahweh, because I've been in the arena with the junkyard dogs, and I've got many battle scars to prove it, praise Yahweh. Here we are in the 46th chapter. You turn there with us if you are a student of the Word. Pastor Buddy will take you in places you ain't been before, and Pastor Buddy will show you things you ain't never thought about possibly before, and Pastor Buddy will make enemies out of your friends like I made enemies out of mine. So, welcome home, praise Yahweh. This is the number one enemy maker right here. It will separate you from mother, daddy, sister, brother, friend, enemies, or anything else that walks contrary to the Word. Let's put everything in a proper context, in proper order. Here we go. Now, we are going down to the 8th verse of Genesis 46. These are the names of the children of Israel. These are the offspring of Jacob, in other words, which were born unto him, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, the firstborn. Now, if we go to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, we look at verse 1. The Bible tells us exclusively there that Reuben defiled his father's couch. Therefore, he forfeited the birthright privilege, and he could not carry that distinctive badge of honor. You say, what difference does it make? Because it makes all kinds of difference, because out of the birthright tribe or the birthright producer of genetics would emerge the stone shepherd king that would come through the lineage and the downline of the birthright child. Oh, well, no wonder the Jews masterfully, skillfully, serpents as they were, Canaanites, we're going to show you how they got in here. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're groundbreaking here. We're the only pastor Yes, I am a pastor, and I'm not one of those false pastors that spoke about in the 34th and the 35th and the 36th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I am a true shepherd. I defend the flock. Whether they love me or not, it doesn't matter. I'm going to teach you and preach to you and shell the corn right down on your ears. Why? Because I'm called to do that. And when my mission's over, Yahweh will take me home into a place prepared from the foundation of the world, because I know my name's on the Lamb's book. I was caught up in the spirit in a vision when, before Yahweh ever called me into this, I was knocked out of a good drunk. I was drunk. I was on a good drunk. I was sobered up as a result of getting knocked to the floor by the Holy Ghost. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, how in the world did it ever happen? Well, the night before I'd been out drinking, I'd had a hangover. I wasn't drunk at the time. I did have a terrible hangover. Best I remember, I had a headache. I was sick at my stomach. I was down on the world. I was depressed. I was pissed at everybody around me and any people that didn't know me. I would even throw my comb on the floor in a bar just to pick a fight. That's how bad it had gotten in the process of me trying to find the Father in 1961 after several spiritual encounters that left me a miserable wreck. I wanted to be a ordinary, good citizen, a good Baptist boy, raised in hell and having fun and doing all those things that they was allowed to do, but the Father seen otherwise. He struck me down, and I was carried away in the Spirit into heaven, and I went before the divine creator. Ladies and gentlemen, I kid you not tonight, praise Yahweh, I have stood in the presence of the Almighty. Trembling and shaking naturally on the bone, I had two angels, one on each side to hold me up because my strength failed me. I was a miserable hunk of junk, drug up by the grace of Yahweh, picked up by literally by the spiritual scalp of my head and drugged before my maker long before that I ever tended to meet him. And he handed me a book, praise Yahweh, had one of the angels that served him there, one of the mighty ones, handed me a book, and this book was handed to me, and I didn't know the language, but I understood as the pages began to unfold, and as the hand of the angel flipped the pages, the pages began to really flip fast. But I understood every word. It sunk into my heart. I was so loaded down with a message that I had never comprehended before that my spirit almost exploded within the top of my head. I was just a physical wreck, standing there in the presence of the Divine One. And across the Bible, or whatever this book was written in gold letters, "My peace," or "My shalom, I give unto thee. Preach my word." And from that, the next thing I knew, I was laying in a little cold, damp apartment. I woke up from this terrible vision, or wherever that had happened to me, a new man. Oh, I had the Bible in my hand. I was weeping. I went around for days on end. My wife, my family, all of my close relatives and friends sent out the word, and the word got around this little community here where I'm still at, that I had lost my mind and was constantly sitting reading the Bible and crying. Well, it was true. And for 7 years, I'm telling you, I functioned in another world. I read the Bible ceaselessly. I read it all night long at times. I was so hungry for the knowledge, and it looked like that I would never get filled with the knowledge, praise Yahweh, of the Bible. Now, saying that brought me to this. Here, I began to see some things that nobody else was seeing. I began to preach things that nobody else was preaching. I became an outcast right away, and I became a lone star, if you will, shining alone. Praise Yahweh. And verse 9, the sons of Reuben, it gives the sons of Reuben descendants. Verse 10, pay particular attention to verse 10, mark it in Genesis 46. And the sons of Simeon, and it gives the sons. He gets Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jason and Zohar and Shaul, S-H-A-U-L, the son of a Canaanitish woman. Here's Simeon. He actually forfeits again the birthright. See, he was next in line after Reuben, but he forfeits by going and laying with a Canaanite and bringing a corrupted blood of the snake into the house. He was excused and was never offered that. If you look up the word Shaul, S-H-A-U-L, you will find that he was called later, his descendants, Cainites. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the serpent got into the house of Israel early on. Why? Because in Genesis 3, 14, and 15, he got in the house of Eve and Adam early on. By destroying the genetics. This is why that we preach racial covenant, if that it is wrong to miscegenate or it is wrong to sow your wild oats, as I used to call it, or your seed in foreign or in unauthorized recipients. Praise Yahweh. Here it is, a Canaanitish woman. Now, in the 11th verse, we go to the sons of Levi, the third son down the bloodline, who was eligible for the birthright. Now, what about the sons of Levi? If you will see Numbers 147, you will understand a little bit more about why that the Levites were excluded from inheritance. They could not inherit because these sons of Levi were chosen to bear the covenant and the ark through the wilderness out of Egypt and into places where until the right one came, the Messiah. So we were kept under the law by the system of in Canaan of the Levitical priesthood. Now, so we don't have any birthright inheritance here. Now we go to the 12th son. These are the sons of Judah. The first son, Er, by a Canaanite woman. See Genesis 38, verses 1 and 2. If you want to read the first 12 verses and you'll get the whole picture. A lot of people, I had a man call me the other night and he said, well, Pastor Buddy, I understand what you're talking here, but you don't really complete something. You just hurry along and you miss an important thing. And I said, what did I miss? He said, well, yeah, it's true that Judah did go into the Canaanite woman, but see, God killed that seed. I said, oh, really? All of it? He said, yep. He said, he killed it. And I said, well, evidently you didn't read further enough in the 38th chapter of the book of Genesis. And so we went back over and I had him to read it again, and we read the three descendants. And most people remember two. They never remember the one that got away. I've got a tape on this, the snake that got away. Here it is, a seed line that has not been discovered. I will take the scarlet thread of the Cain seed, and I will explore and take you through the scripture systematically and show you that this discrepant bloodline that got into the house of Israel before it ever went into Egypt. So therefore, there was a mixed multitude or a mixed race that went down into Egypt with Jacob when he went down to visit Joseph and to sojourn in the land for 400 years. Now, according to the book of Exodus chapter 12, verse 38, and I'm going too fast. I know I can't turn there. I'm in a hurry. I've got things to do and places to go here, and the Spirit has bidden me to press on toward the mark and the high calling. So stay with me. Take notes and check it out for yourself. If you have any questions, call Pastor Buddy. Here we go. The sons of Judah, Er, Onan, and Shelah. Right there it is. S-H-E-L-A-H. Shelah is the name of the son. These are the three sons that were born from the Canaanite affection of Judah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, these are excluded from birthright privileges. No Canaanite is to inherit with the sons of Yah. Here we have the heir of the first four sons, the first three exactly, and the disinheritance of Levi, the third son, has no inheritance factor. Now, the other sons begin to come in from the concubine. And see, these were not the original promised seeds, and so then they were excluded from inheritance because they were from the concubines. Now, later on, Leah had other sons, and if you will read the book of Jasher, chapter 53, verse 18, you will see some of the expressions of the bloodline downline. And we find out in the scriptures here, the first four sons disqualified from birthright. You say, well, yes, that's true, but you see, you didn't read the rest of it, Pastor Buddy. And Perez and Zarah. Now, let's pause right here. It is evident that Perez and Zarah did not come from the Canaanite woman. Well, what woman did they come from. These two sons are by Judah. These are in the bloodline now, the downline, if you will. We're going to prove that they are in the downline, but they don't have any birthright privileges. They have the scepter through dominion, if you will. They become the largest, most powerful tribe. Judah was well noted for his strength and expertise in strength. He crushed stones between his legs in Egypt to display his power and might, and the Egyptian 70 soldiers couldn't even arrest him, according to the book of Jasher. A lot of the adventures that you're missing by not going into some of the, what we call the lost books, or the books that were banned. Of course, they didn't want you to see the book of Enoch. I'm really pissed off about the book of Enoch didn't make it in, but really, maybe it was justified, because only the elite, only the good bloodhounds will find those books and read up. And the Bible says, if this gospel, if it's hid, it's hid to them that's lost. Well, praise Yahweh for that good news. Now, and we go down again unto, listen to me as we hurry along here. We're going over to the 26th verse. And all the souls that came with Jacob unto Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons, all the souls were 66, which are the 66 souls. They were actually 70 when we count Jacob, his wife, and his two concubines. We have the 70 souls here as they go down into. But these are the sons. Now listen to me. And these are the sons that went down into the land of Egypt. This is verse 5 of Genesis 4. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, sons of Israel, carried Jacob the father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons, which Pharaoh had sent to carry them into the land. And these, his sons, went down with him into Egypt. Shaul, the relationship from the Canaanite woman, he went, he's listed. And so is Shelah, this union of the Canaanites. So the corrupted bloodline, these are actually half-brothers of the Israelites, and no wonder the Pharisees and scribes could say that Abraham was their father. They were old rats in the mill. They'd been playing the game a long time, and as you very well know, they can gain the high seats. The Bible says they love the chief seats, and that's where they went to. They headed for the temple. They become Pharisees. They become the Sadducees, and they become the scribes. Oh, yes. And the lawyers, they were quote-unquote experts. By the time Christ came, he couldn't stand them. Neither can I, and probably you can't either if you're like me, praise Yahweh. But here we have it. Now the 11th son descended, if you go back into the 46th chapter, we're going to hurry away from there. It's the 11th son that honor of being the birthright son, Joseph. The 11th son. Remember, he would always dream. He was a dreamer. He loved the stars. He loved the moon. And he loved the consolational aspects of his understanding was in the sky or in the heavens. And his other brothers were jealous. They spoke against it as witchcraft and poppycock and stuff like this. They didn't have the understanding that Joseph had, because every time he would tell them about his visions and dreams, it was that he was to rule over them. They didn't want to hear that. Neither does Israel want to hear it today, that Ephraim is the birthright chosen one and that he will bear the birthright privileges in the last days. Now, here we go. Now, notice we're in verse 3, back to Matthew chapter 1, and Judas begot Phares and Zara. Now, remember, it very discreetly doesn't mention Shelah, the third son of the Canaanite union. I wonder why he's left out here. Well, he's left out of purposely because he wasn't true bloodline. Now, I believe that Phares and Zara were true bloodline because Judah, after the fact, after that Tamar was married to the first two sons, Er and Onan, my heavens, is time gone on me, praise Yahweh, or is my watch wrong here? Praise Yahweh. Well, it looks like our time is gone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Buddy. Can't even give you my telephone number. Area code 423-626-2172. Call me and get my address. I don't have time to give it to you. Praise Yahweh. And this is Pastor Buddy. We'll be back Monday, and I'll keep kicking in the scriptures here of the downline, and we'll give you some information. Well, I got to go. See you. Thank you.
tall. But it's radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Favorite time on this great station. Praise Jehovah.